shepherd. Shepherding is no longer part of our culture, as Josh said last time. And of course, we don't know much about the shepherding business. But one thing that we can, actually, if we read the Bible, there are many places where God compares himself to a shepherd, and he also compares his people to sheep. And we can find a pattern there. When we go over the Bible, we can find this pattern established. For example, when David, he compares God in Psalm 23, when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." He continues verse by verse praising God for who he is, and actually provision, protection, and guidance. So, today, I propose we look at the responsibilities of a shepherd so that we can understand why Jesus didn't only say, "I am a good shepherd," but instead he said, "I am the good shepherd." This is important to know because this is kind of the best in class, you know, the good shepherd, not a good shepherd. And honestly speaking, there are three points here that I want to cover, and all those points we could be related to a good shepherd. But the third point, there is something. So bear with me. As the good shepherd, we can rely on Jesus for daily provision. Sheep requires daily meals to maintain their health. And they can't go extended periods of time without food. If a sheep loses its appetite, it's a sign of poor health. Just as an example, a shepherd would get up in the morning, he would take his sheep to... That was one of his responsibilities, to give food for them, provide for them all day long. And the Bible promises that God takes care of our physical needs too. We can see example in the scriptures. For example, when Adam and Eve, they sinned and they realized that they were naked, God provided clothing for them. Even when we mess up, God still provides for us, because he owns the sheep. We belong to him. We are his creation. He loves us. That's why. And also, Elijah was once fed by ravens. When Jesus is preaching to the crowd and they had not eaten, Jesus multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed over 5,000 people. And when they saw that miracle, they, "Oh, now we have a king. Let's make him king." And then Jesus said, No, I'm not here to give you this kind of food. I am the food that you need. This is just a sign that I am who I'm saying I am. This is not the point. I'm not here to give you this food. I am the food." And as believers, we all require daily nourishment to maintain our well-being, which God provides through his word, face temptation. And he gives us all the resources that we need to overcome those trials. No matter what the trial or test comes our way, we can know that God has already provided for us both spiritually and physically. We can rest assured that when we walk through tough times, like the shadows of death, for example, the shadow of death, God is walking with us, providing for us all day long. And the second point is that as the good shepherd, we can rely on Jesus to lead our path. Well, a shepherd would walk in front of them, and by sound, he would invite his sheep to come. And how have you been leading? How have you been led? Is it with control? Is it with sound encouragement? For example, if you were a shepherd, you would take your sheep to a well, and they would be there drinking water, and then another flock would come, would get mixed with your flock, and then another flock. Because as soon as you walk off, you would just make a sound, and your sheep would recognize your voice, and they would know that you were leaving, so they would just follow you, because they know that in the presence of the shepherd, they are safe. This is the place that they need to be. They know the shepherd, and the shepherd know them. We all have this voice in our mind talking to us all the time, don't we? Who do we think is currently in charge of our life? Thinking about this, has this voice brought you rest? Or has this voice trying to kill you, trying to destroy you, trying to kill your peace, destroy your peace? Because this is the voice of the thief, not the shepherd. The voice of the shepherd leads us to rest. And the third point is that, as the good shepherd, just one point before we go to the third point. One thing before we go to the third point. Rest comes from giving up control. The place that Jesus is leading us is a good place to go. Think about going on a car trip. I'm talking about rest now. Think about going on a car trip, a long car trip. The driver, how different is the experience of the passenger compared to the experience of the driver? The passenger experiences rest and the driver doesn't. And that reminds me a story, something that happened in Brazil back then. Vitor was still a small kid, and we embarked on a four-day road trip and found a huge traffic jam. And then we got stuck in traffic, and our GPS lost signal, and we were just there, no idea what was going to happen now, and we still had more than 3 days ahead. And the fuel was running low, and I started to become worried. And then when the signal of the GPS returned, we learned that we would stay there for at least more 2 hours. And you can imagine the situation. And Vitor was still a little boy. He was sleeping in the back seat. And then he woke up. And then he asked, "What is happening?" And then I was a bit impatient. And then I said, "We are stuck, cool." And then he went to sleep again. And Vanessa and I, we both laughed at the time. And Vanessa said, "It would be so great if we trust God this way, you know? Because I believe in his mind it was something like, I know the situation is not what we have planned, but I know my father, I know my mom, I know where we are, I am with them, so I don't need to worry, I can rest. They are driving me." Perhaps we just need to get out of the driver's seat and observe how good a driver he is. We all need Jesus to guide us and provide peace in life's rush. Oops. And the third point is sheep need the presence of the shepherd for their protection. When a shepherd takes his sheep to a green pasture, or just a pasture, what is he doing in the meantime? He's watching over the flock, the sheep, by getting rid of the lion, the bear, the shadow of death. No, the danger is still out there. But they can lay down, the sheep can lay down, because they have the shepherd in view. His presence gives them rest and comfort. In the evening time, when the shepherd is taking his sheep back to the sheep pen, do you know where he's going to spend the night? There, with his sheep, protect them. So he's still out there even during the night with his sheep, protect them. So he's the entrance by where they can come in and out. Nobody can get to the sheep, not an animal, not a man, not a wolf, nothing, because he's there protecting the sheep. And everybody needs to go through him. We are all vulnerable to predators, but we are safe with the shepherd's protection. Sheep are vulnerable animals that are frequently targeted by predators like wolves, foxes, powerful jaws, and great speed, making them a dangerous animal for any lamb. However, the shepherd plays the role of a defender and protector of the flock. He takes good care of us. He says, "No one will snatch them out of my hand." He has a powerful hand. The shepherd is powerful. And from now, I would say that this is the point where Jesus stands out from any good shepherd and become the good shepherd. According to the scripture, our greatest enemy is sin. There is no one righteous, not even one. We are all condemned to eternal death, since death is the wages of sin. There was no way out of this situation on ourselves. But thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who made a way by offering himself so we can receive the free gift of God, that is eternal life. Do you understand what happened? This is so powerful. This is the gospel. When our greatest enemy came with his sharp, his flock, the entire flock were killed, basically. The shepherd offered himself as a lamb, a small sheep, an impressive sheep. He became that, and then he saved all his sheep by doing that, protecting them, and offering himself for that. This is why he is the good shepherd. And it's so interesting, because if he had just offered himself and that was all, then we would be like Chris, a sheep without a shepherd, right? But this is not what happened. He's not high price for you and me, and it's fully paid. We are nothing, but his sheep are valuable to him. As I said, he rose from the dead. He's alive. He's seated on the throne, as described in Revelation 7. We will read it through, but just before we go, just that let me try to give you an overview of the passage. So John, he saw this amazing picture of a throne in heaven. And before the throne, there was a multitude of people. No one could count. Different languages. They were standing before the throne. One of the elders, who was showing everything to John, asked him, "Who are they?" And John said, "You know, sir, I don't." And then, let's read it through. Listen carefully to this. This is powerful. This is our hope. "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Only the good shepherd has authority to lay down his life and take it back again. This is why he's the good shepherd. Can I invite the band, please? The good shepherd is one of the most recognized chapters, personal, in our own lives. God has wonderful things for us in store, but that cannot be accomplished without us abiding in him. We are all searching for rest these days, aren't we? Can we just rest for a moment? Can we just be sheep right now for a little bit and forever? Can we fix our eyes on the good shepherd? Friends, I want that in my life. We all want intimacy with God. We want tightness with him, that he can lead us just by whispering, and we hear his voice, and we obey, and we follow him without a doubt. And I pray that you want that too. We don't want to come here just to impress God. We don't want to come here and just to display our talents for God. No. We want his life wrapped together in our life so that become one. As he is one with the Father, we are one with him too. We want to be so tight from the pitfalls. He has a staff that he uses to fight against the wolf, against sin, against the lion, against the thief. He has this staff. And sometimes he needs to use this staff as well to protect us from the cliff, you know, just like this. It's a weapon. But sometimes he needs to use that to protect us because he loves us. It might hurt, but he loves. It's love. I pray that we would be sensitive so he can orchestrate our life. He can bring us. He can oversee us. If you are just visiting today, rest in the person of Jesus. No matter how weary you might be, no matter how overcome by sin you might be, it doesn't matter if you think that you are better out there with kangaroos like Chris. You don't need to pretend that you are fine. You are not fine. You are becoming bow-legged like Chris. I forgot to tell you this in the beginning, but he was becoming bow-legged by the weight he was carrying, 41.1 kilos for a sheep. What about the the weight that you are carrying and sometimes pretend that you are fine. You don't need to do that. The Bible is clear about this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And everyone who calls upon that name, upon the name of this person, Jesus Christ, will be saved. Can I assure you today that if you would trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is rest in the person of Jesus? Can you say in your heart that the Lord is your shepherd and rest? If you haven't accepted him as my good shepherd, as the good shepherd, I want him to provide for me. I want him to guide me. I want him to lead me. I want him to protect me. Please reach out to me, any other church leader, or anyone that you trust, someone that brought you here, your closest friend. Please do that. I encourage you. There is rest in his person, in him. There is rest in him. If you already accepted him, I encourage you to go and take bread and wine and let's worship him for what he has done. He's the good shepherd. He provides, he protects, and he guides. You lay down your life so we can rest. And we praise you for that. We thank you that you provide for us, that you lead us, that you guide us through, independent if we are in the valley, you protect us and you encourage us. And when we are in the mountains, you protect us too. And we praise you for that. We thank you for this amazing grace. It's amazing to be led by you. We can find rest. We thank you and we praise you. And we long for the day that we will see you face to face, seated on the throne, reigning forever. And we will be just worshiping you and gratitude. Amen.